This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Carol Off.
Good evening, I'm Barbara Budd.
And I'm C. David Johnson. This is As It Happens, the podcast edition. Isotope, usotope, we all zotope. The debate over the reopening of the Chalk River nuclear facility is proving to have a long half-life. As It Happens, the podcast edition, radio that punches above its atomic weight. Today, the process to reopen the Chalk River nuclear reactor, which makes medical isotopes, was begun. Prime Minister Stephen Harper decided to ignore the warnings of the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission, and the government passed emergency legislation that allows Atomic Energy of Canada to restart the reactor while simultaneously addressing safety concerns. Yesterday, As It Happens, spoke to Dr. Alan Cooperman, an analyst at the Nuclear Control Institute in Washington, who questioned whether politicians should override the advice of qualified nuclear safety experts, and suggested that Canada's wholesaler of medical isotopes, Nordion, could buy supplies from other sources overseas. That caused a lot of fission on TalkBack.
Carol Hill, Brandon, Manitoba. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that the CNFC was indicating that this is a risky move. I'm shocked to learn that we could have gone to other sources, or that company could have gone to other sources around the world to gather isotopes. It's an economic decision versus sound or good governance. So I guess Canadians' health isn't as important as the bottom line, the profit margin. It's disgusting and despicable, and I'm truly disappointed that our government caved in so easily, so readily.
Hi, my name is Muriel Weens, and I'm phoning from Gabriel Island. I'm almost incoherently angry because I watched that discussion in Parliament about the radioactive isotopes, and I watched how they pilloried that poor commissioner for trying to hang on to reason. And all I can think of is that Harper is so scientifically ignorant that it hasn't even dawned on him he could have a nuclear accident in the middle of Ontario. What is the matter with the man?
Michael Luke in Victoria. I found your interview with Dr. Alan Cooperman very misleading. Dr. Cooperman made a number of false assertions. For example, he mentioned that there'd be no fuss in the U.S. about the lack of isotopes for diagnostic procedures there. This is false. Next, he claimed that other suppliers could easily make up the difference and that the shortage is a plot by AACL and Nordion. This is also untrue. One American company, for example, has been obtaining some additional material from the Netherlands, but states it cannot get all that it needs. A third nutty notion he put forward is that only the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission has the expertise to determine the safety of the NRU reactor. I have news for him. AACL has plenty of nuclear engineers and physicists, too. And finally, his comment about the likelihood of a Three Mile Island-type accident was irresponsible. I found his remarks unimpressive, ill-informed, and even inflammatory.
Thank you for your calls. David Torgerson is the Executive Vice President of Atomic Energy of Canada Limited, or AECL. He's the organization's Chief Technical Officer and the President of the Research and Technical Division. He's responsible for the Chalk River Nuclear Facility, which is where we reached him.
Dr. Torgerson, when will the reactor called NRU, the reactor at Chalk River, when will it be up and running again?
It will take a couple of days to get the reactor up and running again.
So you clearly agree with the Prime Minister Harper's decision that this facility should open now?
Well, we agree that we can operate the NRU reactor safely. We operate it safely before the shutdown, and we can operate it safely after the shutdown.
But whether you agree with him or not, and the decision that was made in Parliament, does it surprise you that a Prime Minister who is not a nuclear scientist would override the watchdog in place to oversee this?
Well, the decision was made not in isolation. The government brought in independent safety experts who, in fact, testified that it was safe to restart the NRU reactor and to begin producing isotopes again.
But it, as somebody else pointed out, is they can't recall anywhere in the world where the overseer, the watchdog for nuclear facilities, would be overridden by Parliament, that you have to, at some point, you put your people in place and you trust them.
I don't know what has, of course, gone on internationally. I'm not an expert in that area. But all I know is that we can operate the reactor safely and we can make isotopes. So what I think the government is doing is making the decision based on that premise.
And yet the Nuclear Safety Commission says that may be, but there is still a possibility without the backup power that we have a possibility for a Three Mile Island incident in that facility.
The possibility of having a Three Mile Island accident is just not correct. I mean, this is a small reactor. It is low temperature. It just has all different characteristics than the Three Mile Island reactor. And incidentally, of course, there was an accident at Three Mile Island, but in the end of the day, nobody was killed nor injured by that particular accident. So the NRU is a very, very safe reactor, and we've demonstrated that through 50 years of operation of that reactor. As I've said before, safety is not the number four priority, not the number three, not the number two. It is the number one priority.
But then if that's the case, isn't the Nuclear Safety Commission an important instrument in ensuring that safety? I'm just wondering, you know, that I can appreciate that there's a disagreement between AECL and the Nuclear Safety Commission about this facility. But isn't that something that needs to be worked out within the community that's responsible for this? And I'm just wondering, even by your statement that in the end no one was killed at Three Mile Island, do you not think that some of this, and including that statement, is rather alarming for Canadians?
Well, first of all, I want to go back to the first part of your statement. Safety is the responsibility of the operator. And the CNSC will tell you that very clearly, that we have to operate that facility safely. And if something goes wrong at a nuclear plant, it is not the CNSC's fault. It is the operator's fault. We are the operators. Therefore, we have to operate safely. I can assure you that that reactor is safe. I mean, I live very close to that reactor. My children grew up close to that reactor. I have grandchildren close to that reactor. I have 2,500 of my fellow ACL workers live and work close to that reactor. So I wouldn't be here if I thought that reactor could not be operated safely.
But does that mean do you think we don't need the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission? We don't need a regulator?
Absolutely we need the regulator. I want to be regulated, as I said before.
Want to be regulated now because you want the government to override their decision.
No, I don't. We are regulated now. And in fact, the CNSC does regulate us. The legislation, I think, is very, very clear on this. That the only thing that we are authorized to do is to start up the reactor with one particular pump not connected to a third power supply. They are already connected to two power supplies. The only question is, when can we get the third power supply, the emergency power supply, hooked up to that reactor? That doesn't mean we can't operate the reactor safely. So regulation is very, very important. But the operator is responsible for safety. The regulator provides the oversight.
But isn't it rather toothless regulation that can be overruled by the government? And you say you are regulated. Well, then if they say that this is not safe, then does that not mean anything?
Nobody has said that the reactor is unsafe. The CNSC has stated quite correctly that NRU was safe before it was shut down, and they have said it is safe or even safer after we start up again after the shutdown. So we are all in agreement on the safety question.
You say that you've asked for 120 days to address the safety concerns of the CNSC, but they first identified these problems of this backup power supply a year ago. Why can you do it in 120 days when you couldn't do it in a year?
Well, we can do it in 120 days because we are going to do it during the times that we shut the reactor down. We shut the reactor down every 4 weeks to do about 4 days of maintenance. So we will hook the second pump up to this emergency power supply during the time that we have actually taken the reactor down for maintenance. It's very, very simple and very straightforward. We can operate safely and we can make isotopes.
You mentioned that you have to get this working again because you need to produce these medical isotopes for all the people who depend on them. I'm wondering, there are other producers of isotopes worldwide, and they have usually covered for each other when there is some sort of a shortage of one country. What's happened this time that suddenly there is such a crisis?
Well, one of the things about NRU is it is the world's largest producer of medical isotopes. We essentially invented the whole medical isotope business many, many years ago. And NRU, because of its nature, can produce about 50% of the world's requirements for medical isotopes. In fact, when other reactors go down, we can actually increase the amount of isotope that we can make out of NRU. So when one of the other reactors go down, it's a bit easier for us to cover for them than it is for them to cover for us.
But this, you have needed to depend on the other suppliers before. This is not the first time. It's been suggested on this program and elsewhere that the reason why you don't want to rely on them is because it costs too much, that really it's not about a shortage, it's about money.
Well, we do not actually buy isotopes. I mean, we only make them. I believe that you are talking about the people that actually get our isotopes. We are a producer of isotopes. We have no business interests or connection with the companies that actually sell the isotopes. For example, our medical isotopes, as we produce them, goes to a company called MDS Nordion. That company was, in fact, a spin-out from ACL, I think, about 20 years ago.
Dr. Cooperman suggests that the shortage of isotopes, while being problematic, does not constitute a healthcare crisis. They are used primarily for diagnostic purposes, not for treatment. So I'm asking, where is the crisis?
Well, you know what? I am not a medical doctor. I'm a nuclear scientist, and I would not presume to suggest that the medical profession, which is responsible for treatment of patients, and that treatments that they think are essential for their patients, in fact, are not essential. I find that remark incredible, actually. All I know is that the physicians across Canada, across the world, all say that this is absolutely essential for the practice of nuclear medicine and therefore the well-being of patients. And I know that there are thousands of people every day that are not going for their treatments and their diagnostics because we are unable to produce isotopes. Sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional on that, but I think we all know people, friends, family that have used these medical isotopes.
But I think that Dr. Cooperman's is not suggesting that that they're not important. It's just that if you stack that up against this crisis statement, this need to open this reactor, even while the watchdog is saying it shouldn't be open, if you stack those things up against each other, it's far more important to make sure that the reactor is safe and to comply with regulations than it is to get it going when there are other sources of isotopes. And it's not really, he says it's not a crisis in the United States. He's not heard anything about this being a crisis in the United States.
Well, I guess he's just not listening to all the medical community, but I certainly are hearing that, and I am told it is a crisis. But fortunately, it's not really a question between isotopes and safety. We can have both of them. We can operate that reactor safely, and if we couldn't operate it safely, we would not operate it.
Dr. Torgerson, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
David Torgerson spoke with us from Chalk River, Ontario. He's the Executive Vice President for the AECL, Atomic Energy of Canada Limited. We requested an interview with Linda Keane, the President of the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission. She's the person who cautioned the federal government about safety concerns at Chalk River before they voted to restart the reactor. We were told Linda Keane was unavailable. In her place, we were offered Terry Jamieson. He is the Vice President of Technical Support for the federal regulator. He's in Ottawa.
Mr. Jamieson, what went through your mind when Prime Minister Harper stood up in the House of Commons and said there will be no nuclear accident at Chalk River?
Well, Carol, this is all about safety and operating the reactor safely. And more to the point, it's about having the reactor at the Chalk River facility meet modern safety standards.
And you think it's not?
We got to talk about or differentiate between safety and risk. And an analogy I like to use is that when you and I go out to drive our cars, we're probably safe drivers. but we still are at risk every time we drive because of external things that can happen. And it's a good analogy for the reactor at Chalk River. We're not talking about how safely AECL operates the reactor. We're talking about making sure there is adequate insurance in the case that an external event, like an earthquake, in case that should happen.
Well, then, if that's how you characterize it, and I go back to my first question, what was the emotion you had when the Prime Minister said there will be no nuclear accident at Chalk River?
The mandate of the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission is given to us by Parliament, and of course, Parliament has the ability to change our mandate at any point in time, and we will, of course, execute the mandate as given to us by Parliament.
Has the government overruled the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in this case?
Well, we continue to regulate the remainder of our 2,500 licensees, and we continue to regulate the remainder of the facilities at Chalk River, and we're also continuing to regulate the operations of the reactor in question.
Shall I take that as a yes?
We're continuing our mandate, yes.
No, should I take that as a yes on the question, has the government overruled the regulatory commission on this issue?
The government, through the legislation that was confirmed this morning, has made a minor modification to our mandate, and it's really restricted to one particular aspect, one part of the reactor at Chalk River.
And how minor is it if we've been told there is the potential for an accident of a Three Mile Island type at that reactor? Is that not the case?
Three Mile Island is a different type of reactor. All complex technological systems have the potential to have an accident. And I've got to stress that the bottom line is it's always the responsibility of the operators. In this case, the operator is AECL. It's AECL's responsibility to operate safely.
But when you say that it's just a minor adjustment the legislation made, how minor can there be an adjustment when it comes to nuclear safety? I mean, every tiny thing matters, including backup power for pumps that will prevent a reactor from overheating.
If we back up on this, the one thing I want to stress, and I'm not sure it's entirely clear, is that it was AECL that made the decision to keep the reactor in a shutdown state. They had shut down for maintenance. It was at that time that it was brought to their attention that the pumps weren't connected. And it's at that time that, as a safe and prudent operator, they made the decision to keep the reactor in an extended outage.
What changed that they decided now they can operate that reactor?
When they return to operation with one pump, they will be operating a safer reactor, but both AECL and ourselves agree that the ultimate goal is to run this reactor with both pumps hooked to the qualified power system.
Is that just a minor adjustment, or is that something major?
In terms of the engineer.
Safety. I'm talking about in terms of safety and security of that reactor.
Certainly operating with two pumps makes it a safer facility.
You said minor adjustment. I'm trying to get a sense of how minor this. I mean, this is enormous tit for tat that's gone on between AECL and CNSC. How important is this? I mean, has this been much ado about nothing?
In terms of improving the level of safety, there's a significant safety improvement with going to two pumps. And it's all about bringing this facility up to modern codes and standards. Just like you wouldn't buy a car these days that didn't have seatbelts or airbags, it's the same situation with reactors.
Well, I think a lot of Canadians would regard a nuclear reactor as being far more important to have every single safety standard in place than a car. I mean, you can have a lot of little minor adjustments needed on your car, and it's not going to kill you or many other people, but...
Yeah, absolutely. And safety is our most important responsibility here at the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission.
So is this reactor safe or not?
Again, you have to differentiate between safety and risk. AECL has been a safe operator of this facility for 50 years. We have no reason to believe they will not continue to be so.
So Prime Minister Harper is right. There will be no nuclear accident.
Safety of the reactor is everyone's primary concern. AECL will continue to operate the reactor safely. CNSC will continue to monitor operations, their compliance to the rules and regulations that that we set.
The Canadians who are calling us, and a number of Americans as well, are deeply concerned about what's happening at the reactor in Chalk River. They don't think that the answers are there. They're concerned that a nuclear regulatory commission has been overruled by Parliament. And yet you don't seem to be as alarmed as they are. Are you suggesting that maybe the media is blowing this out of proportion?
Certainly at the CNSC, we're also very sensitive to the concerns of the public. We realize that a safe and secure supply of isotopes is important to the health and well-being of Canadians and their families. And we're working very hard to ensure that that continues to be the case.
Couldn't you assure Canadians a lot more if you were a bit more straight with the answers to my questions?
Sorry, can you repeat the question, Carol?
Do you think that you might reassure Canadians a bit more if you were more, if you would give me a few more straight answers to my questions?
If we'd like to go back to some of the questions, Carol, can we do a retake on them if you feel I'm not addressing them properly?
Is the risk unwarranted? Is there too large a risk being taken in opening this facility or not?
Sorry, the question is there too large,
You're saying it's a question of safety versus risk. Is the risk large in opening this reactor this weekend?
Is the risk large in opening the reactor? The safety of the reactor is improved when it reopens by virtue of them having added a second pump to the system.
So you're completely assured that everything needs to be done to have this reactor open is going to happen before it opens?
AECL is a very safe operator.
That's not the answer to the question.
Sorry.
Are you completely reassured that when they open this reactor on the weekend, that every safety standard that you believe needs to be in place has been met?
Our staff are on site and have remained on site at Chalk River, are assisting in completing the reviews that we would normally perform when a reactor is returned to production from an extended outage.
So you're okay. So it sounds like you're praising AECL for its work.
AECL has been a safe operator. It's not the position of the regulator to praise or to chastise an operator. We set the rules. We make sure that they follow the rules.
Mr. Jamieson, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Carol.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Terry Jamieson is Vice President of Technical Support for the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission. We reached him in Ottawa. You've been listening to the As It Happens podcast. Our show can be heard Monday to Friday on CBC Radio 1 and on Sirius Satellite Radio 137, following the world at 6.
You can also listen to the whole show on the web. Just go to cbc.ca/AIH and link to our online archive. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Off.
And I'm C. David Johnson. Have a great week.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.